On you I will wait. On you I will wait. On you I will wait, on you I will wait, on you I will wait, Jesus, on you I will wait, 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 Jesus, on you I will wait.
I'm out up with wings like eagles.
Hallelujah. Father, we wait on you. And we ask, Father, that in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, that you lead us to that rock that is higher than us. We cry for your mercy. We cry out for your help. The circumstances of our world are overwhelming. But we do know, and we are confident of this, that as we wait on you, we will mount up on wings like eagles. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. For you are our protector, our provider, our redeemer. You are, O God, our peace, our source of life. You are everything to us. And we position ourselves, O God, tonight to hear your everlasting words. The words, O God, that not only gives us hope, but empowers us to overwhelm the enemy with shouts of victory as we declare to every mountain, move out of the way, for there is restoration for us. Restore, restore, restore. We shout grace, grace, grace to every mountain, and we are restored and made every withhold in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so good to have you here tonight for our time together. I know that the Lord's word will be good to us and that we will be greatly helped of the Lord. In your own private time, I will encourage you to read Matthew, the 12th chapter, from the very beginning to the end. It is from Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29 that we'll begin our discuss today. And then there's going to be a smorgasbord of stuff that we are going to touch on. But Matthew 12 starts out with the Lord Jesus Christ doing a lot of healings, and miracles are happening. And the Bible tells us that certain people were offended about what he was doing, bringing healing to the people, and the word of God says they sought to destroy him. So Jesus, our Lord, removed himself from the place. It is interesting that many times as believers we just forge on when there's trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't always do that. Yeah, there were times when they took him, and as they did in Luke 5, and they wanted to push him off the cliff, and he just turned around when they got to the place where they were going to push him, and he walked right through their midst and shows up in Capernaum. And it was like he took one step, and he was away from there, somewhere else. But there were times when he was being attacked and they sought to destroy him, and he hid himself, stayed away. We need to know the difference and need to be discerning on when we need to be burrowing, you know, headlong, and the times that we need to back off. God is able to save you and I at both times, but the Lord Jesus Christ elected to show us that it's not all the time that you go fighting. The times you need to back off, just stay away. Don't do anything. It's better, you're better off. You don't pick every fight and you don't fight every fight. Amen? But if you're going to fight, then do it right. Hallelujah. If there's no way to avoid it and you have to fight, fight the fight well. Don't intend to lose. Win it. And so anyway, he left. But while he was leaving, he healed some more people. There was a guy who was blind and dumb. And he healed that guy. And they started accusing him that he was casting out demons by the spirit of Beelzebub. So he says to the people, that's quite interesting. By what power and what name do your children cast out demons? And by the way, if Satan is divided against himself, then his kingdom cannot stand, he says. And he comes here and he says to them, basically, listen, you want to know how I'm doing this? It's the fact that I first bind the strong man so I can spoil his goods. Else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? So he tells us the projection. This is how you do it. You've got to bind the strong man first. Then you can spoil his house. Then you can take whatever it is that you need to take. But I tell you what, you cannot take anything that you want to take, whenever you want to take it, however it is that you want to take it, without first binding the strong man. You've got to deal with the one who is in charge. How do we deal with that one who is in charge in that particular arena? First of all, by us humbling ourselves before God. It says, the word of God says, submit yourself to God, then resist the enemy, then resist the devil. If you are not submitted to God, you don't have the authority. Sorry. Even the centurion was smart enough to understand that he was a man under authority, and therefore, because he was a man under authority, was able to say to this person, go do this, and to that person, go do this, and to that one, come. And they obeyed him because he was a man under authority. Every believer needs to see themselves under authority. There are so many people that are lone wolves, so to speak. They fly by themselves, and they think they are just okay all by themselves, and they have to answer to no one. That's a dangerous place to be. We all submit ourselves to God, and God gives us people that he calls us to submit to. Some people will not submit to anybody. So today, this is their church, and tomorrow, that is their church. Today, this is their pastor, tomorrow, that is their pastor. And they listen to nobody. I'm just a believer, and I love the Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. Who is your pastor? Well, I don't have any pastor. The Lord Jesus Christ is my pastor. Well, that's good. But who is the one that he's placed over you, to watch over you, to somebody that you're responsible to, somebody that checks on you? You're not in church for 3 weeks, they can call you and say, sister, brother, we've not seen you for 3 weeks. Everything okay? Well, because you're not planted anywhere, you're not flourishing anywhere. 30 years from now, you're still going to be the same, at the same level. Because you keep on uprooting yourself this way and that 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 way. You've got to be stable. You've got to be planted. You've got to be rooted and grounded in the truth of God. Because when you are not under authority, the devil will beat you up. Yeah, because there's nobody watching over you. There's no authority that you are operating under. Somebody that is a covering. Oh yes, the Lord is, the Lord is, and the Lord that, and the Lord this. Yes, but he works through people. He's a God of order. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't just walk to the prime minister's office and start doing stuff. There are levels before you get to the prime minister. And in the kingdom of God, there's order. Hallelujah. So the Lord Jesus Christ says this. Watch this. After he said, no one can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. The next statement he makes is, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. If you are not in my team, you are scattering. You've got to be part of a team. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto them, unto men. Now, what is the connection between all of these statements? He says, you cannot destroy the strong man or spoil the strong man's house except you first bind the strong man. They've been accusing me of stuff, and now he goes and starts saying, if you're not gathering with me, you are against me. That's a kingdom that is divided against itself. It's a kingdom that is going to fall. And then he goes on and with the same flow, wherefore, because of what I just told you, what did he just say? He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me is scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, because of what I just told you about gathering with me or scattering, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy. What is the Lord saying? He's saying, you don't want to, do you want to know what will get you close to being a blasphemous person? You not gathering with me, you not being part of the team. Because then you're going to be resisting the move of the Spirit of God. And he says, that is an unforgivable sin. Wow. It is a sin against the Holy Ghost and shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You say something bad about me? Forgivable. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. This is serious. Based on what? You're not building with me. What do you mean? But any sin against the Lord is forgiven. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is the one who is doing the work of building and gathering right now. So the resistance to the Holy Spirit, resisting the will of God, resisting the Word of God, resisting the authority of the Holy Spirit in your life, guides you into that pathway. God help us not to do that in Jesus' name. Amen? We're called to build together. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And God places us in different places and anoints us with giftings and abilities so that we can speak not against the will of God, but speak in alignment with the will of God. Praise the Lord. We're called to build together, not to scatter, but to work together. So the Word of God says to us, either, still talking about the same thing, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. What is he talking about now? Well, we'll find out. It has to do with what's coming out of your mouth. Believers are so flippant with their mouths, ready to accuse this person or that person or that person, tearing this one down, tearing that one down, as if they are the only ones that know God. You need to be careful on what you add your discussion to. You need to be very careful. Let the person who is messing up expose themselves. Don't join your mouth to it. Somebody asked me recently about some things happening in the church, and I said to them, you know what? I see what I see, I hear what I hear, but I'm not going to make any judgment on it. Aren't you going to take a side about this? No. I'm going to let God deal with this situation, because you know what? The Word of God says, the man of God, the servant of God, falls before his master or stands before his master. If there is a fruit inspector, he is. And he has the final say. So he says to us, he says, make the tree good or make it corrupt. You make it. In essence, the tree is neither good or bad. What you say is going to determine what kind of a tree it's going to be, whether it's going to produce good things or corrupt things. What you say. What you say from your mouth is going to determine whether we are a great church or a horrible church. What you say out of your mouth. What you say is going to determine whether we are a flourishing church or a barren church. What we say out of our mouths. So what does the enemy want to do? The enemy wants to generate an atmosphere where you say the wrong thing, say the bad thing, and then he hops on it, and we get a production of corruption. Or you say the good thing that God is calling you to say, and goodness is manifested. So the Lord says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, bunch of snakes, being evil, speak good things? In essence, you can't do it yourself. Your natural nature is to shoot out poison. That's what he's saying. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So how are we going to produce this? James tells us, it says the tongue is not controllable by man, but it's like the bit in the mouth of the horse. So that the rider is able to control the horse, or the rudder and the ship, so that the captain can control that ship. It's a small item, but it affects this big, big ship. In essence, he's saying, it actually states, it says, no man can tame the tongue. So therefore, if you cannot tame the tongue, then it must be that whoever it is that is controlling your life, who's riding you, who's lord over you, is the one that's controlling what you're saying. Praise the Lord. So if the Lord is the one controlling what you're saying, then surely he's going to speak wholesome things out of your mouth. You're not going to be speaking evil out of your mouth. You're going to be speaking things that are honorable, wholesome, a blessing, things that will change the impact around you. Just like God did in Genesis 1, the place was bad, everything was bad. But what God did not say, oh, wow, everything is so terrible. No, he said, let there be light. And he began to say what he wanted. He said what he wanted. Let me say it the third time. He said what he wanted. So when we are in church or in a business or whatever, we should not be speaking and confirming the bad stuff. We say what we want. That is aligning with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Matthew 12, he cast out a demon out of a man that was blind and dumb. You know, when I read that, I'm saying, normally it's deaf and dumb. But this time it says blind and dumb. Blind, he couldn't see. Dumb, he couldn't speak. He's hearing all kinds of stuff. But look at this, look at this. Are you with me? The issue was not his hearing. He was hearing, but he couldn't speak and he couldn't see. And the agenda of the enemy is for you and I to just keep on hearing stuff and not seeing what God sees and saying what God is saying. We've got to see and we've got to speak. What are we saying and what are we speaking? The will of God, aligning with the word of God. This house is full of the glory of God. We are in a church that is filled with people that are sold out to the purpose of God, serving God with all of their hearts. They are righteous people. They are people of great prosperity. They are people that are givers. Thank God for renewed strength. We are a revived church. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the testimony that's coming out of your mouth. And are you ready for this? When you start saying what it is that God has done, remember, and you shall be witnesses unto me. When you and I start saying those good things, God looks and says, they are saying things that are not as though they were. Give it to them. Hallelujah. Give it to them. Give it to them. And not just only give it to them, do exceedingly far beyond anything that they ask or think, according to the power that worketh in them. The power of life and death is where? In the tongue. So the confession of our mouth is changing our history. Jabez was being called Jabez's sorrow, and he says something else. And God answered him. He didn't have to change his name. The guy could care less whether his name was changed. What was important was that his life, the testimony of his life, the confession of his mouth was changing everything about his status so that his name did not match anymore with the glory of God that was in his life. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, what are you saying to me? All I'm saying right now by the Spirit of God is say what you want, not what you think is. And we need to do it individually and corporately. That's how we bind this strong man. That's how we do it. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. What he's treasured, out of that he's going to produce good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure, that's the thing that he holds as important, bringeth forth evil things. The evil man brings forth, manifests evil things. The good man manifests good things. How? What he's saying out of his mouth. But I say unto you, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But I say unto you that every idle word, every idle word. Remember, we spent some time on that word, Argos, a few months back. We spent much time talking about that word, Argos, inactive word, unemployed word. In essence, God has given to you and I, remember the word of God. He says, open your mouth and I will fill it. So God has employed certain words that are supposed to be spoken by me, spoken by you. And when we don't engage those words, there's no manifestation. Those words have not been employed. And God is saying, Argos, employ my word. Engage it. It has to do its work. Hallelujah. Every lazy, goes for that word too, Argos, that men shall speak, words that are not of God, that God has not employed, you go and you bring them into your arena. He says, you're going to give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words, by what you say, you're going to be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Your words are going to free you or condemn you. That is the setup. And tonight we need to be reminded of that. That our words need to be words of unity, gathering together, aligning with God, His divine purposes, and things begin to happen. They fall in place because we're working together. How can two work together except they be in agreement? And so what does the enemy want to do? Generate an atmosphere of strife, division, argument. And in that atmosphere, nothing grows. Nothing grows. So, the point is that our engagement must be based and founded on a solidarity to be one with God. Psalm 133 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The word good and the word pleasant are the exact same words. The Hebrew word tobe. If we're spelling it in English, it would be T-O-B-E. I find that interesting. Because if anything is to be, it's going to be because we are in agreement in unity. If any two of you shall agree concerning anything, it shall be done. Is that what the word of God says? Yeah. So what do you think the enemy wants to do? Get us squabbling, fighting, and then nothing happens. In fact, the power of unity is so amazing that God said before, and in the Tower of Babel, when the people were together trying to build together, God said, "These people are one, and there's nothing they will not be able to accomplish." So God scattered them. They started speaking different languages, and they started fighting, and they separated all over the world. Because as long as they were together, whatever it is that they set their minds to do was going to happen. So God's word says, how good, how tobe, and how tobe, how good and how good, how pleasant and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment, the oil of anointing. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard representing maturity. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. It says, unity is as the dew of Hermon. The dew of Hermon is the dew that ends up in the Galilee and the Jordan and the ends up in the Dead Sea. That's where the water flows from. The dew from that goes through all of that. He says here, he says, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Second mountain, the mountains of Zion. He says, for there, in the place of unity, there, in the place where the dew of Hermon is flowing from, there, from the mountains of Zion, he says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. God commanded the blessing. God commands the blessing. When there is unity, God commands the blessing. Forces it into place. Even life forevermore. What do we choose in this last of the last days? Do we choose to flow in the things of God or not? Verse 38 says, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees, after he's made all these statements, answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. He's been giving them signs and miracles, and he complained. Now he says, we'll like to see a sign. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Who's this Jonas or Jonah? He says, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's remarkable. He takes it. He says, you don't need a sign. The only sign you need to know is this sign of Jonah being in the belly of the big fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And I'm going to be in the heart of the earth, just like Jonah was, 3 days and 3 nights. By the Spirit, I taught you that the 3 days and 3 nights equation is regarding the 3 days of your past, the 3 days of your present, and the 3 days of your future. And what is he saying then? He's simply saying, this is the sign you need, Speak well about your past. Speak well of your present. Speak well of your future. Stop griping about the past. Yes, bad things happened then, but thank you, Father, that you put inside of me a resilient spirit, that no matter what happened then, I am still here. You have sanctified and made good out of my bad. Hallelujah. Father, my past is not going to follow me and mess me up, but rather you're going to bring good. You've brought goodness out of that past so that, Lord, I can deal with this present and this future ahead of me. I am a blessed and highly favored man. I am a blessed and highly favored woman. I am a blessed and highly favored boy or girl. I am blessed and highly favored. Our church is highly blessed and highly favored. The past of our church is wonderful. The present of our church is wonderful. The future of our church is wonderful. Hallelujah. Get rid of the complaining. Says that's all the sign you need. Say something different. Says the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The people of Nineveh, they heard the word of God, they repented. It says, and greater than Jonas is here. So you need to change. It says, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I am the greater one. I am here, and child of God, you need to see something different. When Sheba came, she said, the half of what I was told. Doesn't even match up. This is beyond description. Everything is in order. I see your servants, they are all put together. Everything is put together. That's what she saw. And so when she went back home, guess what? She took all of that grace. Now, as I begin to wrap up, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what I said, this is smorgasbord of stuff we're talking about. But it all starts out from people resisting the will and the word of God. So now, that same thought, follow that same thought and come here. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished, clean, but no action. Clean and unemployed words. Clean, but not saying what the will of God is. Clean, and there is no Lord that is controlling the ship, the tongue. But it's clean. Well, I don't have to do anything. I just need to be a good Christian. Well, you're not a good Christian until God takes charge of your tongue and you start prophesying the will of God. We need to say what God is saying. Father, what are you saying? What do you want me to say today? See, that's what ultimately prayer is. Calling the will of God done in the earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, our Lord, did nothing without, first of all, getting clearance by seeing what the Father was showing him. And then he spoke what he saw. That's it. That's it. If we are not aligned with God and using our tongues under His lordship to declare His will done in the earth as it is in heaven, the devil will engage your tongue. And you're going to make the tree corrupt rather than making it good. He says, that spirit then goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. The worst state, because we refuse to speak out. You know, the problem of the church today is that the church is not speaking out. We don't have one voice. We have a pope that is saying that same-sex marriages should be blessed. A few years ago, he says, you cannot bless sin. Now we are blessing sin. All kinds of crazy stuff is happening. It's about being worse, a more wicked, seven more wicked spirits. That's complete takeover. And the worship of idols, demonic forces of the past, is invading our world again. The lies of the past, they are happening again. Why? The church that got rid of them because it preached the word of God, it said the will of God, has kept its mouth shut, living in a world of, well, anything can go. No, anything cannot go. Mm-mm. Sin is still sin. And we must boldly declare the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, what I just said now, you know, the government doesn't want me to say it. Oh, yes. You are homophobic. Really? No, I'm preaching the word of God. And my response is first and foremost on that word. That word is more important than my fear of any man. Because I love homosexuals, lesbians. Because I love people that are transgender, because I love them, and I know that there is an eternal judgment that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says will come upon every man, whether they be heterosexual or homosexual, every sinner, that those people will be lost for eternity. Because I love them, I must tell them the truth and say, listen, you don't have to be that way. God loves you. Call out to Him. Tell Him, God, you got to help me, because if you don't help me, you cannot throw me in hell. No, you got to help me. Because it won't be fair if God doesn't help you when you're crying out to God. Out of a pure heart, then God has to take charge of His own problem. Because He's the one who said it is wrong. Then fix me. I'm crying out to you. Help me get out of this mess. Change whatever you need to change in me so that I can be right. Oh, you're making me feel bad. Well, in hell, you feel worse. But guess what? I am not going to go to hell for you because I didn't tell you the truth. And God comes and says, You had an opportunity to tell people the truth and you decided not to. Why? Well, he's going to hell, but you are going with him. Lord, why? Why? I was okay. Why are you doing this to me? No, you did not love him enough to tell him and warn him of the impending judgment that is coming, and therefore you go with him. Well, I'm not going to go there. Hallelujah. You want to put me in jail because I told the truth? Go ahead. When I get to jail, I'll preach to the people in jail. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what Paul did. He threw him in jail. He preached to the people in jail. They got saved. The same God. Hallelujah. Full alignment. So while he's busy teaching, watch this. He says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. They were outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, the ones that are seated here listening to my word, not the people over there standing outside there and saying, we are blood brothers. I'm the mother. I don't care about that. I'm not into, I'm qualified. No, the people that are listening to me right now, they are my mother, they are my brothers and my sisters. So forget about those people. But Lord Jesus, that is rude. That's your mother out there desiring to see you. Well, so you want me to stop preaching to come have a private discussion with you? It's not happening. Oh, let me put it better. It ain't happening. We're not compromising this thing. The truth is the truth. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. This is it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says, these are my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. That's it. You and I need to have something settled. Who's the boss? Who's Lord over your life? The message is clear. If we as the church of God don't want to get worse, have demonic spirits invade the church, and in some cases it has already, because they will not speak the truth. You ask, is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? Yeah. On television, on radio, or whatever platform? And you start beating around the bush? Guess what is going to happen? Demonic invasion. Because you're not standing with the Lord. Whether you like it or not, you ask me that question, it doesn't matter whether I have 1,000 people or 50,000 people or 100,000 people. It doesn't matter what the budget is. It doesn't matter what. I would say, I wish I could tell you differently. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If he had left the other part out, no one comes to the Father except by me, I will be the happiest camper. But he said it, and he is the truth. He's not just a, you can't just say he's a prophet. Because if he's just a prophet, then the guy is a liar. If this is not the truth. But he said it. So I have to tell you whether you like it or not. Yes. You mean the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the whatever, they are not going to come into the presence of... Well, it's not for me to answer you this way or that way. Jesus said it. So as his servant, I have to repeat what he said. He said, he's the only way. Now, if you want me to explain maybe why that might be the case, do you have time? Do you have time? Yes, okay, why do you think? Well, because of the pride of man. God has to bring people and align them and make certain that they don't just choose any which way they want to come. They've got to come in humility because it's pride that got us all out of the kingdom of God. So God has to make a way. And he could have said anybody, but he said, you want to come in here? You come through that door. Don't you do that in your theater? If you want to come inside this theater, you've got to come through this door and buy this ticket. Do you want me to bring my own ticket? You won't even allow me to bring my own popcorn to your theater. But you want to bring your own popcorn, you want to bring your whatever and eat inside the theater? No, you buy from us. That's what Jesus is saying. That's my way. It's just plain truth. Might not be comfortable, but I'd rather have a man of God tell me and say that outright for the whole world to see and let people act whatever crazy way they want to act. Oh, these Christians, they're already telling us that we are not good enough. They're already telling us that we are intolerant. They're already telling us that we are crazy. They're already telling, and we didn't do nothing. You didn't say anything. They're calling you all kinds of crazy names. Then say the truth. And when they call you a crazy name, at least you know why they called you a crazy name. Just say the truth. Don't beat around the bush. Why are we beating around the bush? For what reason? The Word of God says, don't be afraid of man that can only kill your body. Be afraid of the one that can kill your body and wipe you out completely. I'm going to be afraid of you for what reason? Give me a break. We only live once. And we're going to live it right. Let your words count. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's all the Lord says for me to share with us tonight. I pray that something that was said tonight clicked in your spirit and that you're willing to live for him, join him, be planted where he wants you planted so you can flourish in his courts. Amen? Don't be everywhere. Be under authority. Be connected. And have a voice that speaks with a very clarion voice the truth of God in fidelity. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again to share your word with the saints all around the world. Enlarge our voice. That will be, O God, a conduit of hope to the lost, to the weak. And Lord, O God, our lives forever changed will cause many to hear you clearly and turn to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for you forever reign in majesty. We bless your holy name. Protect us, keep us, hide us. In the shelter of your grace, fight for us, Father. And help us, O God, do your will. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving, that which God has placed in your hand, released to him. I did mention with us that we need to raise $11,000 to make a particular purchase. If God speaks to you to assist in that venture, we'd like for you to do so. Let us do that as quickly as we can. I'll say before the end of this month, we should have all the funds so that we have the necessary equipment for the preaching of the gospel. Amen? In fact, I had a mention. Let's turn this off from YouTube and Facebook. Let's get rid of